Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all our daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lg4square.com. That's lg4square.com. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Barnabas Project. I'm Candace Smith, and today on the show we have the Enneagram 8s. One of the unique characteristics of the Enneagram typology is the identification of our core fears, because we often struggle to separate who we are from how we see ourselves or behave in specific environments. Recognizing your greatest fears becomes one of the most authentic ways to self-assess your type without bias. The good news is once our root of fear is pinpointed, God's perfect love casts out all fear. For the Enneagram 8s, the fear of being harmed or controlled by others is real. They strive to be self-reliant, independent, and remain in control of their circumstances. Their underlying fear can push them to dominate their environment out of a desire to exert power and control. But the gospel of Christ can heal these fears as they remember God is ultimately in control, and He is their front and rear guard. A great verse for Enneagram 8s is Isaiah 52:12, "But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard." I have so much respect for 8s who have submitted their lives to Christ. This is a big, big deal. They help us fight for the underdogs in our world and are fierce friends. Here are Aaron Watts and Olivia Adams.
Perfectly naive, and I grew up too quick. Now you won't see all that I have to lose.
All right, welcome to the Barnabas Project. I'm Candace Smith, and today we have Type 8s. And in the studio today, we have our resident 8, Erin Watts.
Hello.
She's been on lots of our podcasts.
I just live here.
That's right. And we have Pastor Cameron, and today is his birthday.
Hello, everyone.
Yay. I'm glad you were born.
We have casserole today, breakfast casserole. I got confetti thrown at me.
Yeah.
In a cannon.
It's a good day.
It's a party.
Good day.
That's right. And Miss Molly's on the podcast.
Hello.
Hello there, Molls. It's been a while since you've been on a pod.
It has.
Your schedule has changed, so we're not always jiving with your other job.
I know. Glad to be here.
I know.
Glad
you to see you. You deeply love 8s.
I do. I love my 8s.
Yay. Also on the podcast today is our new friend Olivia, all the way from Canada. Woo! Say hello to Olivia, everyone. How's it going up there?
It's pretty good. It's getting really cold.
It's getting cold. What is it in Celsius today?
In Celsius, it is 3, I believe. Mm. Yes. Mm. Before, like last week, it was like 15. So kind of just jumped.
That's a big difference. Do you have snow yet?
We have snow only on the mountains. I did a hike yesterday and there was snow up there.
Ooh,
but here it's not so much.
Got it. Well, we are at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, which is zero.
Freezing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And with snow. So it's cold down here.
I left my house and all my girls were going out to play in the snow.
Aww.
And Hazel could hardly move. You know, classic like Christmas story.
I can't put my arms down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go into type 8s. Type 8s are leaders, challengers, protector, defender of justice. Type 8s are strong, charismatic leaders. They learned early on to lean on their strength and hide their vulnerabilities to prevent being open and susceptible to further betrayal in the future. They are bold, independent, honest, magnanimous, and likely the person who has continually pushed you to be more thoughtful, egalitarian, and driven in your own life. They are often the defenders of justice and are the people who won't let us go to sleep on those who are being exploited. None of us like the feeling of loss of control, but loss of control is not an option for an 8. They have a fervor for the underdog and an intolerance for people exploiting those who are vulnerable. They value honesty and directness, often plow a path for the rest of us. When eights forget that Christ will provide and protect them, they start to think that it's up to them to protect themselves from being harmed, controlled, and taken advantage of by others. They start to use their intensity, strength, and confrontational style to ward off those who are trying to harm them. They will challenge and go against others to test them and see if the other person is being truthful or taking advantage of them. Christ's love, however, comes in as their protector and provider like a balm, and trust takes root and allows the eight to flourish in God's sovereignty and care. So what are your thoughts on what I just read? Was there anything that kind of popped out to you? Aaron, we're going to go with you first.
A lot of it. I looked up the word egalitarian as you were speaking, because I was like, what does that mean exactly? And it just means like very strong principle of like everyone being equal and fairness. And I'm like, yeah, so many of the things, it's so much. So I'm like trying to remember everything on the list. And sure. So I'm going to say all these things. I think one thing that I don't think I do is like challenge people just to test them. Mm-hmm. Or if I do it, I'm like not aware. Mm-hmm. But
why are you testing me right now?
Why are you testing me? But the desire for justice, like my whole life, like if things are not fair, I'm like, that's not okay. Like, and it's mm-hmm. very upsetting for me. Like, mm-hmm. especially, and this is like the control thing. Like when I've tried to make things fair, and then it's like, you just need to get over it, or we're not going to do anything about it. Like that hurts really deep. Mm. So,
yeah. What about you, Olivia? Was there anything that kind of stuck out to you?
Yeah, I would say the same. Like I feel like when something is unfair, like, and you are aware of it, it's almost a disservice to not do anything about it.
Yeah.
And especially with like the control thing, I definitely resonated with that because I used to want to control everything. And like, even when I was coming to Christ, it was really hard for me to let go of that. Mm-hmm. Really hard for me to let go of that control. Mm-hmm. And still, it still peaks in. And it's, of course, I'm not perfect, but
sure.
Yeah, it's just been a thing that God's been working in me, mm-hmm. one of the many things. but I definitely had to let some of that go before I accepted Christ into my life, because I wanted to control everything and wanted to know everything. Mm-hmm. But it does not work that way sometimes.
I think it's interesting to come to that as like you came to Christ and were like, wow, I have to let this stuff go, where I pretty much grew up in the faith. So it's like... Mm-hmm. You know, there's pros and cons to both of it, but mm-hmm. like there's something mm-hmm. about coming to Christ as an adult that you're like, I'm fully aware of like my shortcomings and all this stuff, where for me it's been like glossed over, and mm-hmm. I'm like mm-hmm. diving into the Enneagram has allowed me to recognize those things that God needs to mm-hmm. redeem in me. And it's like, that's a part of sanctification. Like yeah. it's okay that I'm like, I didn't know this till later in my life.
Yeah. So. That's why I think it's kind of a big deal when an eight comes to Christ, because they're letting go of a lot of control. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You both mentioned fairness. Mm. Where does that sense of fairness come from? And is there something in you that's like a check engine light comes on when you see something that is unfair? Or what does that mean? Where does your sense of fairness come into play? And how do you determine if something is fair or not?
Honestly, I just feel it in my gut. Like I feel it inside of me. And so that's not always like the best compass, cause that is mm-hmm. going to be subjective to me. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is just like, that's wrong. And it's just like, there's no thought to it. It's just like, that's not okay. Like someone cutting in line, you know, that's such a dumb little thing, but my husband will be like, just let it go. I'm like, no, like they cut us. We're here in line. We're all like, what do they think? They're better than us? Like, no, they don't get to cut. And I'll just be like, hey, we're in line. Like, I'll just say something like that. And they're like, oh, sorry. They're like, end up being really nice. So my husband's like, why are you so mean? I'm like, I'm not being mean. Like they cut us. And he's like, it's okay. I'm like, no, it's just wrong. Like, so there's no like thought, like criteria. It's just like, from right here, like in my chest, like, nope, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a good point about you guys go from your gut feelings about mm-hmm. things. What about you, Olivia? Fairness.
I would say for myself, I feel like my nine comes out. Like if someone treats me unfairly, mm-hmm. then I will almost just want to make peace instead. Mm-hmm. When it comes to others that I love, then that's when it really bothers me. I care for people and I see their heart. Mm-hmm. And if someone's taking advantage of that heart in some way that's not fair, it just really irks me. And I always want to stand up for them, even if they want to make peace. No, man, you gotta let them know.
You make a good point, though, that like as a type 8, like you can be self-forgetting. And like, so you like, I will, for someone else, it's like no thought, where if it's for me, it will take more time. Like I can be impulsive about little things like cutting in line, like dumb stuff, but I will go to like, for someone else, we'll go to bat easily. And then for myself, I'm like more self-sacrificing in that way. Like, and that could be leaning into the nine wing, but I think it's like a, like a something inside.
Mm-hmm. Molly, you have some phrases for everybody.
Yes.
And Olivia and Aaron are going to say, yeah, maybe this is me or maybe this doesn't sound like me.
Okay. So number one is, what are you trying to get out of this? Is the phrase.
So is this a phrase? Are you? Is that a phrase that you hear or say or think? What
say.
Is that?
I would say it. Yeah. Like if someone's, like I've had people ask me questions, you know, on like in a DM on social media, like in relation to a post I make, oh, what did you do about this? Or like, you know, whatever, I'm trying to be vague about it, but they'll ask a question and I'll be like, why do you want to know? Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not just going to give you my answer. And I find myself doing that. Like when someone's asking me for a favor, like I will assume ill intent and be like, well, why?
You immediately challenge it.
Mm-hmm. Not, maybe not verbally, but yeah, inside sure. for sure. And I'll be like, Aaron, they're not like, they're not a villain.
What about you, Olivia?
For me, I would say not so much. Just because I definitely used to, and I feel like it always caused this friction in my mind. Like I would never usually say it out loud. It was more just like in my thoughts. And I think that came up from my upbringing, because like my mom would always be like, oh, you should like, don't be taken advantage of, or like always make sure that you know people's intentions before you like trust them and all that. But I feel like I don't test it enough. Like I kind of just give trust quite easily sometimes. And yeah.
The next one is, do you provide for people you love? That's an interesting wording.
Do I provide for people I love? Maybe, but I think it's in a way that I perceive, like, but others wouldn't perceive it as provision. Like I remember growing up, there were people in my family that were really giving and selfless and were more like type 2 or type 9. Mm-hmm. And like, they would just like help with stuff. Like, was my grandma, oh, do you need help getting stuff from the car? And like, I just don't think of stuff like that right away. So I guess maybe no for me, but I would provide for people in other ways. Like, but it's very spur of the moment. It's not like a thought out thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Olivia?
I would say yeah for that one. Sometimes over providing is something I struggle with. just because I don't know, like when I see that someone needs something or they want something, but they don't want to get it, then I just make it happen for them.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes that can bite me in the butt. just because they're like, why can't I just do it myself? I'm like, no, I'm just trying to help you. Like, please just
okay,
let me help.
That's funny. Cause I feel like like at a restaurant, you know, someone's like drink, like they wanted a water and they didn't get it or something. I'll be like, hey, could we get, like, I'll just ask for it. Or I remember being at like a McDonald's and someone, they ordered a shake or they wanted a shake, but they ordered a smoothie and they were like, they didn't want it. And I was like, do you like it? Like, are you going to drink it? And they're like, no, I'll probably just throw it away. I was like, no, I'm just going to go ask. Like the worst thing they could say is no. And then I'm like, it's McDonald's. They're probably just going to be like, sure. So I'll go up and be like, hey. So I've done this thing recently that I'll be like, okay, do you want me to support you in what you think? Or do you want me to tell you what I think you need? Like, because I don't want to force it on people.
May I That's intervene?
Yeah.
And our next one is protective of the vulnerable.
Yeah. Easy. Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Even as a kid, like that person that was like no one was friends with, like I would be like, hey, come sit with us. And I remember being at like a VBS and this girl was like, why did you invite her with us? And I was like, why not? I was like, why can't she sit with us? Like, because she wears glasses? Really? Is that what we're doing?
Olivia, what about that one for you?
Yeah, I would definitely say 100% for that one. I find that, especially like, it depends on where their mentality is. Like, some people would just not want to stand up for themselves for whatever reason. And I feel like I would just challenge them on that and just say, you know, like, if this is something really important and if it's going to bother you later on too, I think it's important to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Especially with trying to protect them. Like, sometimes I have to take a step back and try not to do too much so that they can like do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's something I'm also working on for that.
Okay. Yeah, because there's a way to do it that you like speak for them, mm-hmm. but you're like, I don't want, like, you're not voiceless. I just need mm-hmm. to move and clear the way so that yeah. other people listen or see you or whatever that thing mm-hmm. is.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm going to take some creative liberties and okay. I'm actually going to merge two of these.
Yes.
saying a phrase, no, we need to talk about this, and then doesn't go to sleep angry. Are those accurate for you?
Yes. I wouldn't say that I'm like, I love conflict, but if conflict's important, it's like, yeah. And I've in my marriage done that. Like, no, we need to talk about this. I've literally said that phrase because my husband doesn't love conflict. So he'll be like, okay, we kind of talked about it. Let's move on. I'm like, no, I'm not, like, I will move on, but I am not done yet. So we need to talk about this. And I don't, yeah, if I go to bed, like, and it's unsettled, I'm upset. And it's not necessarily because I'm like, oh, our relationship's at stake. Like the motivation isn't there. I'm just like, no, it just needs to be dealt with so that we can move on. Like, mm-hmm. it's that. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Cameron.
Wait, I don't think Olivia said.
Oh, wait, Olivia. Sorry. Go for it.
No worries. I would definitely agree with that. I do feel like sometimes you do need to think about it before talking, but then I definitely do not want to go to sleep angry. Like, I would rather talk about it before then.
Stay up all
just
night.
Because I would want it to be, I don't know, like, I would just want to get everything on the table and just talk about what the hurts are and everything and how we ended up fighting about whatever. But I definitely think it's important to talk about it yeah. first.
Yeah,
it's good. In a gentle way, of course, but I feel like to leave things going unsaid, it can be potentially dangerous for the future.
Yeah.
Just because you don't want anything to build up, even if it's something small, you don't want it to build up.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's good. All right, Cameron.
Yeah, I got some questions that'll kind of help share your testimony a little bit.
Sweet.
The first question is, what led you to the Enneagram? Where'd that come from in your life?
I first heard about it at a work, like a training thing. And we went through it as a group. And I had never really heard of it. So I just like didn't really understand what was happening. Before that, I loved like Myers-Briggs and stuff. And I'd mm-hmm. started exploring that and being like, wow, I think it's understanding yourself is like really good. So I honestly, the first time I tested, I can't remember what type I got because I just like didn't know anything about it. And then I think I just was like, that was cool and forgot about it. And then later was like, huh, what was my answer for that? And then like Googled Enneagram and then started looking. And then it just became more of a like a popular, like, you know, pop culture yeah. kind of pop psychology kind of thing, like to discuss with friends. And just followed like Instagram pages. And so for a long time, yeah, I wasn't really sure of my type, which I think there's another question asking about
yeah,
that.
Well,
so I'll wait.
Let's combine those questions. So the question is what led you to your Enneagram and how did you okay. discover your number? So yeah. you can go ahead and answer that part too.
Definitely thought I was a 7 for a really long time just because behaviorally I'm very like spontaneous and fun loving and like people, I think people typically see me as a happy person, not an angry person. But who knows, honestly. but as I, honestly, it was a journey to understand myself because it was something I had never thought of like, who am I really? And like those questions, most of my life growing up hadn't really been brought to me just in different environments I was in. It was more like, this is how you should be, and this is how you should look, and all this stuff, which I never liked that. I was always like, there's something wrong with that. And I don't want to like, I'm going to do something a little bit different. So I'm not just like in this mold. Cause I think that's weird to be like, we all have to be the same way. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I thought I was a 7 for a while, but then kept reading things. And I was like, there's just some stuff that's just not clicking for me. Like,
this is still thinking you're a 7.
Yes. And then there was things saying like, just the aversion of negativity and like hating negativity. I was like, I'm like a very negative person. And then I was talking to my husband and then really understood that the Enneagram was more about your core and like your desires and your fears. And I was reading 8 and I was like, oh my gosh, I think I'm a type 8. And then my husband and I were going through it and he was like, yeah, this is you. Definitely. Like, the good and the bad. Like he said to me, like, you're like a train. Like when you want to go after something, nothing will stop you. And so I don't always like bring that much focus and intensity into everything, but things that I care about, I'm like, you can't stop me. So when I don't feel like that, it feels very vulnerable and like frustrating. And then the Enneagram song that is at the beginning of this podcast, when it came out, I listened to it and I like started crying. I was like, oh my gosh. And so it just, that sealed it. Yeah.
All right. What about you, Olivia?
For me, I didn't really think about the Enneagram beforehand. I grew up non-Christian. So my mom was kind of into horoscopes and all that. So she always asked me what am I and all this kind of stuff. But I never really identified with it. It was more just like something that she was passionate about. And then when I met Garrett, Candace's son.
Garrett was on the podcast as a 6.
He told me about the Enneagram. And he also said that Candace is super passionate about it. So I took a test like on the Ennea app or something like that. I think it's called Ennea app. And I definitely was kind of hesitant just because I didn't want to be put in a box, but now I realize that it's not really a box. Like there's so many lines, so many wings, different ways that you can identify with the Enneagram. So when I took it, I did it through a test and then I kind of looked through the wings and all that and tried to figure out what I most identify with. And even now, like I still see so much similarities in even like 2s and stuff, but now I see like 2s have a line with the 8.
Yeah.
So that's like your, I think it's your heart posture. Yeah. Like if you're healthy. Yeah. So I definitely opened my mind a lot more than to just say like, oh, I am the way I am. But there are different ways that you move towards. And I find that so powerful to like be able to pinpoint that. And like Aaron was saying, like it helps you to grow as well, to know those things about yourself and read that and be like, oh, that's kind of me. And that's kind of problematic.
Yeah.
And just asking God to really reveal that to you and reveal more about that to you and to heal you from whatever past hurt may have brought that on. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think it's a way to grow and a way to know more of yourself and know more of your weaknesses, which is something that God can definitely reveal to you, but he can also do that through something else. And I believe that the Enneagram can really help that as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I got another question for you. Actually I'll come back to this question. What is it that you love about being your number? It's easy to, when you read about your number, sometimes it's easiest to identify with the negative traits because you're very aware of you and your flaws. But what is it that you love about your number? What do you feel like your superpower as an 8?
I love making people feel seen and like valued for who they are and feel like that's really important and not compare themselves to other people and be like, I'm not this way. I'm like, no, you're not. You're you. And that's amazing. And I think that I like part of that truth telling and that like wanting to empower other people is something that a type 8 is really good at. It's like a gift of ours. I also love just that I'm like kind of fearless and it's not that I'm brave. I just like don't have a fear complex. Like, so I'm just like, that's not bad. Like, that's not scary. I'll go.
So it's not even that you make the decision that like, no, I won't let this I won't let this fear stop me. It's just that you don't even have the fear.
Yeah.
Just
like, and if I have the fear, I'm like, then I will avoid it because it does make me feel vulnerable. Mm. So that's been fun to discover. And like in my job, oftentimes I have to be vulnerable and reliant on other people. And that is different. Yeah. I'm not like, oh, like I have to be like, I'm scared and I'll do it anyway. But oftentimes if I feel in control of something, I'm just like, yeah, I can do it. Even if I don't do it perfect, like I can do it. So I like that. I like that mentality that I'm just like, nothing can stop me.
All right. What do you feel like is your superpower?
I honestly think assertiveness is a gift and I never used to be that way. Like when I was younger, I was not assertive at all. I kind of just went with the flow. I feel like I was a lot more of a seven. I still am a seven, but just, I feel like I've learned to stand up for myself more. I still have issues with it, but definitely more. And I think that for being an eight, I tend to ask a lot of questions about people to know more about them. And I feel like that's such a privilege because you get to know more of the person and not just the surface level, but to know them under the surface and to know them deeply and to know like why they love the way they love or vice versa. Like, yeah. I think that you learn so much about people and that also kind of leads into us caring for them more. And with that protective side, like I really appreciate just people are and how, why they are the way they are. And being an eight helps me to know more about them and to stand up for them if they feel like they can't at the time. And even if like some of my friends will be like, oh yeah, like you can speak up for me. I don't mind. And other ones are like, oh no. Like I'll try and do it. And I'll be like, okay, I'll walk you through it. And then you can do it. But I definitely think that being that kind of friend is really helpful for others. So that they know that you're there for them and they know that you will do whatever it takes to help them through a bad situation.
A friend of mine said, if there's a burning building, like Erin runs into it. She does not run away from it. Like if there's a fire, Erin's running in. And she told me that. And I was like, wow, thank you. Like that makes me feel really seen. But something interesting you said is when you were a kid, you were more like, just go with the flow. And I think I was too. And Enneagram 8, like in maybe like not stressed, but like less secure goes toward a type 5, like some of the traits. And type 5s can just kind of be like, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm going to be more reserved. And so it's like, we're not always speaking our minds. And I do that like when I isolate and when I keep kind of more secretive, like that's, I'm not okay. You haven't heard from me.
Somebody check on Erin. Someone
check on Erin. I think she's hibernating.
All right. Well, this do you have a favorite meme? Somebody mentioned Instagram accounts. Instagram has some really fun follows for Enneagram where they just share like these random memes. Do you have a favorite meme or just joke about an eight?
I have so many. So I love the pages where they're like. Like some memes are very generalized, but I like the ones where I feel like they know a little deeper and they're like, they cut like deep, but there's so many. So I think I'm just going to say a few because I can't pick one. There's one that's like eight as a parent, which I'm not a parent, but I feel like this would be me. It's like, I hope my future child is funny because I'm not spending 18 years fake laughing in my own house. yeah. And then the other one I'm going to share is it's like a little cartoon of this little explorer guy. And he's like searching and it's like, I finally found it after 15 years, the scroll of truth. And then he unrolls the scroll and inside it's like chill. And then he just is like, yeah, and throws it. And it's like a type eight doing that. And if the scroll of truth says chill, I'm like, no. And my husband literally calls me No Chill. Like that's one of the nicknames. He makes up dumb nicknames for me. And No Chill is one of them. I have no chill. Olivia.
I really like those ones. Those ones are nice.
I'm excited to hear yours. I love memes also.
Oh, memes are fantastic. It was hard to find one. I feel like I resonated a lot with the nine ones and some of the fives too.
Interesting.
But I saw one that was about getting a tattoo And for a type 8, it says gets a tattoo in the most painful possible place and doesn't even flinch once. That one. Like, I want that one. I found one for a 9. And it says, when you leave a party to find your own space, but you also take a moment to enjoy how much fun everyone else is having.
I think that can go both ways, too. Like, as an 8 winging 9. And it's like, I'm just going to do my own thing. So it's like, it doesn't necessarily need to be the most intense. It's just like, what I want to do, I'm going to go do it.
But then also, the second part of that is enjoying that everybody else is having a good time. And that would be an 8 thing. I want to make sure that everybody's good. I want to fight for everybody. If everybody's covered, if everybody's good, then I actually don't have anything to do here. So
that is so true.
I literally just stand there and enjoy. I'm gonna bounce. Them.
Yeah. I fought for everybody. They're having fun. So I guess my work here is done.
Just, now what?
Aaron recently had a birthday. And one of my favorite things was watching Aaron function at her own birthday party, because she quite literally set everybody up to have a really good time and then just spent a lot of time kicking it in the kitchen.
That's true. And I was talking, like, we went in the smallest space of my house and that's where we were congregating for whatever weird reason. That was fun. And it was weird, like, because there was so much planned for me. Like, I kind of facilitated, like, I'm having a party because I just wanted something really specific. So I was like, I'm throwing my own party. but then so many people did these things, like, behind the scenes. And I did delegate stuff like, hey, you bring food, you bring this, like, you bring that. So that I didn't have to do everything, which is a growth point for me also. But then I kind of get like, I don't know what to do, like, because I need to be in charge of something. And it was like, no, just have a good time. But then once I was able to do that, I'm like, yes, this is. And everyone had fun, too. Mm-hmm. It was a good party.
All right.
When was your birthday, Aaron?
Oh, sorry.
It was last Tuesday or like two weeks ago. But then I had a party on the weekend and it was like my birthday week. But I turned 30, so I was like,
yeah. Had some family coming.
Yeah, my family surprised me, and that was so cool because I didn't coordinate any of that. And I usually think I have to coordinate things for them to go the way I want. So I felt very loved because of that.
Yes. So fitting that you would say that on your 8 podcast. Yes. That's an 8 trait. All right. So what's an assumption people make about your number that drives you crazy?
I think the loves conflict one, just because it just can be very like over characterized that it's like, I'm just looking for conflict because I'm bored. Like, that's kind of toxic. Like, I don't really do that. Maybe sometimes, but it'll be like petty things. Maybe I do that. But also like people thinking I'm mad at them, and it'll be like, just if I'm mad at you, you'll know. Like, because if I'm that upset that I need to address it, like, I'm going to. So if I'm mad at someone, something that I try to do is be like, is this a me thing? Or is this something that needs to be discussed? And so if it is, then I'll have to be like, hey, let's talk about this, you know. But I don't want to just, like, I don't know, bully people. So, oh, yeah. And then just people thinking I'm mad when I talk. Like, why are you yelling? And I'm like, I'm just passionate. Like, this is just how I talk. I'm not mad. So I guess those are some of the things.
So yeah, I think it is important to recognize that an 8 doesn't run from conflict, but it doesn't make them sadistic. Like, that they're not just trying to
just start up.
Not thriving on pain.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, I feel that too. Like, especially with the conflict one, I feel like that's where my 9 kind of comes in. Like, I don't want to, just bring something up if it's not really important.
Yeah.
You know, and not just like seek conflict just cause, but definitely like I try to just, if something's really bothering me, like I'll just tell the person. Like, I remember my friend recently, she was like, oh, are you okay? Like, is everything fine? Like, you seem like you're mad. I'm like, I was just like zoning out. and I told her, like, if I am mad, I'm not mad quite often, but if I am mad or annoyed about something, like, I'll tell you, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And I won't be mean about it or anything. I'll just let you know that that hurt. And then we can go about it from there. But definitely, like, with the angry thing, I definitely don't get angry too often.
Yeah. It's like people perceive angry and you're like, I'm not angry.
Yeah, I'm really not. I don't get angry too often.
Before we go farther into the questions, let's listen to some wings. Let's see what these wings are.
Yeah, you both have talked about your wings in different ways already. So,
So a type 8 wing 7 is sometimes called the nonconformist. They advocate for the rights of others, think practically and creatively, are afraid of losing their autonomy, dream big, and are idealistic. Can struggle to be emotionally honest or vulnerable, make logical and fair decisions, form connections with others, create optimistic and innovative plans, lead others inspirationally and effectively, and have an ability to share their thoughts and opinions openly. And then a type 8 wing 9 is sometimes called the diplomat. They're more calm and laid back than 8 wing 7s, dislike taking orders from other people, struggle to openly share emotions, fear being controlled by others, seek autonomy and independence. They have an ability to see different perspectives, naturally energetic and confident. They lead others through support and guidance and protect those they care about and give attention to the needs of others. So as you guys were listening to those two wings, was there one wing that you kind of feel like you live in more than the other?
Yeah, I'm definitely the 7 wing, like nonconformist, like just little things like I'm going to do this different because I can. Yes, lots of those things. The part where it said like optimistic planning, like that one's so true because I'm so like, I love big vision, but I like planning the process to get there is like, oh, like I don't like that. The one thing that I love though, that's more of the 9 wing. And so I would say I have more in the 8. Or I'm sorry, the 7 wing, but I use a little bit from the 9, is like being diplomatic and like mediating. I actually really love doing that. Like when there's a conflict, like this happened years ago, I do, you know, ministry with high school students and we went to summer camp and I had ended up getting like a norovirus, like flu in the middle of the week of camp. And so I had to be in isolation for like 3 days and the other volunteer leader that was with me, it was like her first year and she's like, wait, you're leaving? I was like, you're gonna do great, you're doing great, sweetie. And so I was like, I'll be praying for you, like send me notes, I'll send you notes back. And she did great, but she had like 15 girls like by herself. And so when I came back, there had been some like drama in the cabin and people were mad at each other and she's just trying to like hold it down. And so I finally like reemerged like alive again. I'm like, I'm okay. I threw up a lot. I'm okay now. And gross. It was like, you know, conflict, like this girl did this and it made me mad. And so I was like, all right. And I go and sit with one girl. And I'm like, do you think maybe they weren't doing that, you know, on purpose to hurt your feelings? And she's like, oh, I didn't think about that. I'm like, maybe we should talk to them about it, huh? And she's like, yeah. And then I go to the other people. I'm like, here, what's your issue? Great. And then I'm like, guys, let's come together. And I'm just really good at that. And so by noon, like everyone's friends again. We're all great. And so I do love doing that.
Peacemaker skills.
Yes.
What about you, Olivia? Which wing?
I definitely resonate with that. For 9, I would say I'm an 8 wing 9 probably most. I definitely do swing to the 7 quite a bit, but for 9, I would say definitely mediating. Like I really love to help people with their conflicts. Even if it's something that's very small, like I think that it's important to talk about it because I don't want anyone to ever think that they're alone in it and that they're just, they're believing that, whatever, that they don't have the right to be angry about whatever. And I just try and help them to work through like, okay, why are you mad about this? And is there anything else that happened that brought this along? And even doing that, that also helps with them to think reflectively about themselves and to think reflectively if they are upset about something, or even if it's like a positive thing, like they'll be like, oh, okay, like I'm thinking about this because this happened to me when I was a kid, or blah, 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 blah. But then also for a 7, like I feel like I can be carefree sometimes. Like I don't really, like I can just do something pretty impulsively and be completely okay with it. But then also a 5 would come in with my line of 5 and just think about all the possible reasons that things could go wrong. Which is really
like, I need to just chill.
That's good.
But I definitely would say 9 mostly. Just because I really do, I think about why things matter or why conflicts can grow us or how they can grow us. And even with being driven in that, I think that it can really help with wanting peace and also to be in unity when you're going towards a problem or even to make a solution about something. Unity is definitely an important thing. And sometimes there won't be unity, and that's also okay. Yeah. But that's also my neck.
I have a question. Unity is also fine. I have a question for Olivia. There was something you said, and it made me think of like when a friend comes to you and they're like sharing about something going on in their life, like a problem, you know, with a roommate or what coworker, whatever it might be. And they'll be like, yeah, like they're doing all this, this, and I'm like, did you tell them that like you felt this way? Like, that's a question I feel like I ask often. I'm like, have you told them that? And then they're like, well, no. And I'm like, well, like, you should probably tell them, like, I can't force you, but I like that you also said, like, you want to help them see their strengths. So like, they're being empowered to make the choice of how they're going to move forward. Cause if we do it for them, like that's not always received well. So, and it's not always good.
Totally. And I feel like sometimes it's easier to do it for them.
Right. Let me just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that also is something that I can struggle with, is just wanting to do it for autonomy, which is another thing. The nines. Just kind of doing it just cause I can.
Absolutely. It's easier for me to do it myself.
That way, more effective.
When it feels like emotional energy to like spend it on someone else, but it's so much more better to like, it might take longer, but like, I'll help you get there and know how to do it yourself instead of doing it for you.
Yeah. And that definitely takes patience, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
Especially to see that person grow as you ask those questions. And even if it takes a couple days for them to get to a solution, like it's so, so worth it. And like the next time that they have an issue, then they already think the way that you were asking them questions.
Yeah.
About. Like they already think that. Mm. So then it's not as an elaborate of a conversation.
Good.
So can you bullet point, you both identified your nine, but kind of this way and that way. You saw strengths and you saw yourself functioning in different eight and nine or eight and seven. Can you bullet point what you mostly identify as?
Eight wing nine. I think so.
All right. Trying to make a decision.
So it's not, you're not locked in. I sprinkle a little
the other end, but I think definitely seven.
So while we're moving around and looking at the other numbers, if you could choose one type to be for a day, what other number would you choose to be?
I'm not gonna lie, this is a really hard question. And I think I suggested it to Candace. I was like, this is a good question to ask. And I'm like, I don't know. I really like being an eight. I do really like being an eight. But if I could pick, oh my gosh. I don't know. Pass. I need to think about it.
Okay.
I would say more of a seven, definitely. Because I am, like, when I'm looking at the eight wing seven, it just says sociable, talkative, and interactive, but not to gain others' approval, confident and independent thinker, self-disciplined and self-directed. Like I really see that. Mm. And I feel like if I weren't so much of a challenger, I feel it would be more effective to be more sociable, because then I won't be trying to help people as much, like just to talk and just to be normal.
Yeah.
Instead of just like ask questions all the time. But definitely I would say a seven. If I could choose, then I'd probably do a seven. Because they're kind of carefree too, which I appreciate. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm giving it a lot of thought. I think that I'd pick a four. Molly is across the table from me. Because they're just very creative, and I can be creative, but it's not my strong point. And I just feel like fours are very expressive, and then like they're next to the three. So they have a lot of that like efficiency of like following through on things. And I have a tendency not to, and that's my seven wing showing like the follow through. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like emotional and transparent, but vulnerable is like, feels very different than those two things. But I love how fours are just like, they know what they feel and they're like in it. And I just admire fours a lot. Like, I think they're really cool. And sometimes me and Molly, I'll be like, maybe I'm a four. And then she's like, yeah, but you're not also. And I have a lot of fours that I really love. And they're also misunderstood, like eights. And so I feel like we have this connection that we're like, we're both misunderstood. Like,
for the record, I do not tell her no.
Okay, that's true. I go,
consider this.
That's true. Will you please tell that story also?
Okay. So both of our eights have mentioned that they don't like it when people assume they're feeling a certain way or that they're upset about something.
This is a no slide to you also, but I love this story.
Not to make it about me, but I have a few friendships that start that have started because I saw somebody in public who looked mean. And I knew of Aaron long before I actually knew Aaron because I had a lot of people going, you would be such good friends. You really got to meet this person. You'd hit it off really well. So I knew Erin. I'd seen her at church, and then I always saw her at Starbucks working on Young Life stuff. So I'd go into Starbucks. I would walk past Erin. I'd smile at her. I would wave at her, and this woman would look right through me.
She Erin would give growl. Me
nothing. And then I'd see other people come in, and she'd be like, oh my gosh, what's up? How are you? And I'm like, what?
Does she hate
me? And I'm like, I guess she doesn't like me.
But the truth, or not the truth, like, that's Molly's point of view. My point of view was I had heard of you once from someone, but I didn't know what you looked like or anything. And someone said, oh, yeah, Molly. Oh, you know, you like Molly. She does what you do, too. Like, you guys would be good friends. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'll have to meet her. No clue who she is. I'm also not from a small town, so I'm not used to the, like, you just see
everybody
everyone.
Everybody waves at you.
Right. Like, I'm not used to that. So, like, if someone waves at me, I'm like, why are they waving at me? That's weird. Like,
what is it that you want?
What do you want? Yeah. What do you want from me? And just so friendship. I'm going to be honest. I never saw her. Like, it's not even that. I saw her waving at me and was like, what? I just never saw her.
She never saw me. But for 2 months, I referred to her as that girl at Starbucks who will not smile back at me. Who actively chooses not to smile back at me. Because she looks at me.
I was in the zone.
The assumptions we make.
Yeah. Just, but now me and Molly are great friends.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna jump through some questions, but one thing I really want to know is, for eights, what has been bringing you life in this season? This COVID season, this just the climate of the world, this season of being isolated, the season of political tension, the season of fill in the blank. What has been giving you life?
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah. There's not just one thing, that's for sure. Really honest and authentic conversations with friends and trusted people, that brings me life. And those people that are safe, that I can be fully me, whatever that is. And it's not like that I know, I don't, you know, 2 hours later regret it. Like, there are times where I'll be really transparent or open with people, and then later I'm like, why did I do that? Like, I shouldn't have done that. Like, and I have people in my life that I never feel like that with. So that's really, really good. Also, like, intense exercise. I have a punching bag in my garage that I love to punch a lot. And I just started doing CrossFit and I really love that. Like, I'm really sore today. And even though I've been like, I'm in sore, like, I actually really love it because it makes me know, like, I did something. And then the other things I would say are podcasts. Listening to podcasts, being on podcasts, love it.
What are some podcasts that have given you life?
This podcast.
The best, obviously.
The best. There's one that I really like called Reclaiming My Theology. And that's been, it's talked a lot about just like ideas that we have. Sorry, I made that sound with my mouth. That was really loud. just talking about like ideas we have and trying to separate them from like, what are human ideas and what are ideas of God? And like, what does the Bible actually say about this? Mm. And it's like challenging and it kind of, it's not edgy, but it definitely pushes the boundary. That doesn't sound right the way I'm saying it, but it's, I like people thinking outside and not being like, this is the way things have always been. So let's keep doing it. They're like, hey, this is the way things have always been. And it's not good. Like, we need to change that. Mm. I love that. Mm.
So it sounds like what you have found that is healthy for you is opportunity to use your strength in really healthy ways.
Yes.
So having deep, meaningful conversations with people in a safe place, and safe conversations with people that you trust, but then also getting some deep thinking, getting some aggression, getting some energy focused in a direction that is productive for you. That is, that seems like there's a theme through all those things that you just mentioned.
Yeah. I think you nailed it.
That's good.
Awesome.
I love that you connected that for me because I don't do that.
It's good. What about you, Olivia?
I would say first, Jesus. I feel like especially this year, I've just gotten so close with him and just been able to like hear and to know just the way he talks and
so good
how he's just been speaking into my life and helping me to work through things that I may not want to work through. Just like giving me that space and that grace to work in it and to truly open up to him about whatever I'm going through and to release control. Cause I think that a lot of times, especially in COVID, it's hard not to want to control things.
Yeah.
And people get upset because it's a time where you literally don't know what's going to happen in a month. And it took a while to release that. But I think that no matter what happens, like God is in control. I know everyone says that, but he truly is. And he's truly there for each person. And he cares for each one of us so deeply. And even he'll do that through other people too. And that's another thing I would say is community. Like me being at Pacific Life, I've met so many people that are so caring with like no judgment. And growing up, I was not used to that. I always was used to judgment and people trying to change me for whatever way, like for whatever reason. And for here, like I truly feel like I'm able to open up and truly being able to be vulnerable. And it's encouraged to even cry, which is new for me.
Yeah, like, oh, that's good.
I'm like, well, okay, I'm not used to that, but all right.
You're like, I hate this, but I need it.
That's how I feel when I cry.
Yeah, it's a process. It's a process for sure. But I'm just so grateful for who God has allowed to be in my life and who he's allowed to minister to me. Even when I think I'm okay, like I'll have a conversation with someone and I'll be like, oh, maybe that's something I struggle with. And I bring it up to God and just ask him to reveal more about that to me.
That's so good.
That's good.
Yeah, I would just say, Jesus, he's a great man. He's a great man.
Yeah. A friend of ours, so you guys might have saw this post yesterday, but somebody posted, plot twist, 2020 was actually your best year ever. Because you dug deeper, you adapted, you learned, you sat quietly, and all these things that I was like, yeah, I would not have done those things. I would not have, as you mentioned, you've learned to hear the voice of God in this season. You've slowed down, you've channeled your Aaron, you've channeled that energy into really healthy, productive things for you, even your thinking or your physical body, but putting energy into things that are growing you. And those are things that we've not necessarily would have done unless we had a global interruption.
Right. And what's cool is those are all acts of worship. Your body, you know, like I truly believe exercise is a spiritual practice. Like God made our bodies and it's like digging deep, being alone, like all that stuff. Good.
It's good.
Yeah, totally. Exercising is such an important part of our lives. And the fact that we can even move our bodies is such a blessing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Such a blessing.
And the mental
perfectly.
the mental release that comes from that physical activity too. Yeah. You kind of mentioned a good cry. Like I feel like that when I do something physically active where it's like I had a release that I didn't know I needed, but I needed to shoot hoops or skateboard around the office or whatever it is. Anything physical is good.
Is there a specific scripture that the Holy Spirit is using right now to speak to your heart, to your life?
So I had this verse saved. I mean, there's a couple that have been like true in my life. And one of them is in Romans 12, when Jesus is like, well, God says like, vengeance is mine. That's a big one because I'm always trying to like find my own justice myself. And there's a way that I can do that like that's godly, and there's a way that I can do that that's not. And so that's going to be a lifelong thing of like tempering that and trying to be at peace with people, but not just glossing over things. Like at peace can mean like speaking truth. So trying to find the balance of that, but allow God to bring vengeance, because I can do that easily and it will be ugly. But the other scripture I have that I think has been, this is more true of the theme where I've been at personally, that's a more soft, like the deep desire to be safe, and protected and stuff. Jesus is showing me like, I can be that, for, like I can be that for me, like for you, trust me. And so the scripture I have is Psalm 61:3-5. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. And I just think that's beautiful, like, and so gentle. And that deep, you know, the hard outer shell is like covering a really deep, gooey inner, like that is just wants to be held and loved. And that's not easy to admit, but that is something I want. And it's like through therapy and good friends and like God just really working in me, especially this year, I'm being able to do that and experience it. And it's been really beautiful. And like me and Candace will talk and I'll just like cry with her and it feels really good. It feels really real.
Oh, I'm just so proud of you for digging deep. You know, you're doing the work with the Lord, and it's been awesome to be on that journey with you.
Aaron, you had said you wanted to be a 4.
Yeah.
Molly, was that your scripture that you shared?
That was the scripture that I shared. That was bringing life to you? I shared 2, but that was one of them.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Tapping into that fourness.
There's a connection there.
Get it, Holy Spirit.
Or you guys just spent too much time together.
Also that.
That's fine, never too much.
What about you, Olivia?
I changed it last minute. Before I was about roots, to dig your roots deep down into Jesus. And to they would bear fruit through that. But then I found another one that I, like my eyes always go to. It's in Galatians 5:24. And it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And I really resonate with that just because I think that it's hard to not to beat ourselves up about like any desires we may have that aren't in line with God and with the Spirit. But I watched this sermon about how each desire does not define me. Like you can think about something, you can have a thought and you're like, I don't agree with that. But the fact that you don't agree with that means that you have been changed. It's not just because you have that thought does not mean that you are still thinking that way, like that is a part of your personality, but that it happened, that thought happened, and then after that you choose not let it define you, and then after that you turn towards God and you continue to turn towards God, whatever that whatever thoughts may lead you in the future. And I just think that continuing to nail those passions and those desires that don't bring you towards the Spirit, don't bring you towards glorifying God in whatever you do, to nail those and to also know that you have grace if you slip up, or to know that you have grace for who you are as a person. I think just that balance and that understanding of how much God loves us is so important and is so pertinent right now, to just be patient with yourself and to know that there is a God who loves you so much and who will, who literally died for you. And he wants you to just, to know that you're loved.
I love that verse. It's like very 8 packs a punch verse. Also, like I remember the first time I read that and the part where it's like, this stuff has been nailed to the cross and it's like, it's boom, bam, it's there. And I was like, ooh, like underlined it when I read it. And just that very like visual, physical, like visceral thing that it's like, that's happened and it's nailed. Like you think of a hammer hitting a nail into something, like it's loud and it's powerful. And it's like a very 8 verse, like,
it's very powerful.
Yes,
the funny thing is, you said like the nailed part. That's where you That's where you underlined. For me, yes. I put like a box around it too.
Yes.
Everything else was underlined and then I put a box around it.
I don't even know. There's squiggles, underlined, circle. Yeah.
Well, last question. If there is an Enneagram 8 out there listening to the podcast right now, or somebody who thinks they might be an 8, what would you want them to know?
One, if you live in this county, hit me up because I'd love to be friends with you. Or, you know, hit me up anyway. We could be virtual friends. And two, like, I guess some advice I'd give is like, don't let yourself get to a breaking point before like asking for help and letting people care for you. Like, mm-hmm. It's okay to not be strong all the time. It's okay to be soft. And God will do that for you. Like, God will show you in real ways. And I think that's something that He's teaching me and that I'm getting to see and experience is like how loved I truly am. And like, I don't need to be strong or make things happen for that to happen for me. God can provide all of that. And, yeah, there are people that love you deeply and maybe there's people that don't, and that's okay. Like, 'cause there's people that love you. That's really
right.
Big.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What about you, Olivia?
Oh, I totally agree with that. I think a big weakness that I'm working on right now is that I need to ask for help. Don't ever a lot. I mean, not ever, but like quite often I don't ask for help.
Same.
And that's something I'm struggling with. And like, there'll be people around me be like, let me help you. Like, I really want to help you. I want to bless you. I'm like, no, I'm okay. Can I bless you? And that's something I really need to accept. Because some people do love by giving. Some people do love by helping. And I let them love the way they want to love. And even if that makes me uncomfortable, and to walk into that uncomfortability, even if it's weird.
Like they're helping you because they love you, not because they don't think you can do it. Like they're not, there's not some ulterior motive. Like they just want to help you because they love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good, you guys. I would
say definitely that's an amazing thing to say to someone, as well as to be patient with yourself. These weaknesses and these strengths, like, yeah, they're there to help you and they're there to guide you in whatever God has for you, and to recognize them and to also work with them and work with the weakness and make it a strength. Mm-hmm. And to not let anything stop you from doing God's plan for you.
That's good. Well, thank you, two amazing women, two eights that I love on the podcast today. Thank you for sharing your heart. And next week we have Enneagram 9s. Super excited about Zach and Aspen Enneagram 9s that we have. Yay. Yeah,
that'll be fun.
So that'll come up next week. And we just thank you for tuning in to the Barnabas Project and our Enneagram series. And we're going to leave you with some music right now. This is the Atlas Enneagram song for eights.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you'd like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com. That's lg4square.com. And you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.